The 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Okay, good morning. Welcome back to the programme. Good morning if you just joined us, 9 minutes past 10 this Friday. How are you all keeping? Anything exciting planned for the weekend? Anything coming up that you want to let us know about? You know the numbers and you know I'm nosy. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number. We'd be very grateful if Greg could give the iCare coffee morning a mention on the show today. It's on from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. today in O'Flaherty's Bar, Main Street, Bunkranna. All welcome. Come along for a cuppa, a chat and some cake. And iCare, we've been talking an awful lot about services for younger people. iCare is instrumental in that in their area, in the Inishowen area, and not just younger people too. They help to ease that cliff edge as people hit 18. They do fantastic work, primarily through fundraising. So if you can support iCare and you fancy a cup of coffee, head into O'Flaherty's Bar. They're open, running there until 2 p.m. Today. Please say happy anniversary to Anne McGonigal, who's driving to Letterkenny at this time. Could you play Toto out of Africa? I don't have time to play music. Or maybe we might. I don't know. It's up to Caroline. Una Callahan in Clonmany, 14 today. Happy birthday, Una, from mum, dad and all the family. And it's also my grandson Ben Doherty's birthday. He's 2 today. Okay, lovely. Celebrations, hopefully, in that house. Right, okay, shall we get to some of your comments here? By the way, I've been told of a major incident on the road involving a truck. It's just down from Millville Community School. When I was notified of this, the section of road is closed. We'll keep you updated on the situation there as this morning wears on. A politician says folk are so far away from the truth, tell them to create a sentence with the words kettle, pot and black in it. Are the poor politicians, they ignore public opinion and wonder why they're being shouted at outside the door, the same door the three party leaders didn't care enough to be present at for the opening of the session. I think just for public discourse, and I don't know, and I would hope there is no one against protests, people protesting outside that where all the big decisions are made. I'd have no problem with it myself, and I don't think anyone really would object to, posters, shouting, chanting, banging drums, loud hailers, speakers, whatever it might be. There was just a different tone to the protest during the week that people were riled up, and you might say understandably. But do we really want to be, like, we are all angry at times about different things. We are all passionate at times about different things. But do we want to be seen jostling politicians because they house Ukrainians? Do we want to be using the type of language that was being used where children may be within earshot and tourists might be there? I understand things are bad. I understand things are passionate. But we're not talking about protesting. It's the nature of the protest. Well, that's at least what I'm talking about, whatever the national conversation is. Too many problems to protest about, that's why. Another protester treated with deplorable actions from the state in recent times. Government-led micro-protesters up the garden path, so-called D-Day for micro-group in Leinster House, led to government throwing an avalanche of red tape in their faces, sent them home disillusioned. Another, I didn't see the protest the last day, but Greg, you brought that conversation right up to the brink and Catherine ran with suggesting they are not far off killing a politician. I don't believe for 1 minute that the protesters had that in mind. And I hope when you were listening that I was incredibly clear in that I never suggested that anyone at that protest would be capable or even had that in mind. What I did say, and you can listen back, you can rewind right now on YouTube, what I said was it's not then a big leap. And it's not a big leap for someone who feels that they want to make a difference, they want to make a sacrifice to their country, that they want to be the strong Irish man or woman as the kind of language that you hear. It's not a big leap to suggest that maybe something similar to what happened in England could happen here. I think it'd be naive of us not to say, but I was very, very clear in that I said it would be a step beyond what we saw during the week. And I was very clear in that I wasn't suggesting that anyone that was there or present would be of that mind set, just to be absolutely clear. And I appreciate your comment, but I purposely chose my language very carefully, and that's just why I'm reiterating it. Good morning, Greg. It wasn't counterintuitive. The people are angry with the Muppets in Dublin who are doing everything to destroy Ireland. The reason it's counterintuitive is A, hate speech laws. You're not going to hear as much resistance to them now. B, a ring of steel around the door. People won't be able to protest outside the gates as much anymore. C, you're going to see a different style of policing at these types of protests. That is what I mean by it being counterintuitive. Four, you'll probably see less people at these protests because even some of the most recognisable faces and politicians who would have perhaps been sympathetic to a lot of what was being said have literally distanced themselves from it. They're saying, oh no, they were plants that did this, or you know what I mean? So I'm not saying anything that's not actually being said by really quite high profile people in that side of politics. But anyway, the Muppets in Dublin are doing everything to destroy Ireland as a country and as a people. Of course, people like your panel who have no troubles with paying bills don't see it the way people are rising up. The government is supposed to be afraid of its citizens, not the other way around, which you know the government have scared the public for long enough. It has to stop. In regards to the protest at Leinster House, says another, I think political representatives have, in general, had an easy run. People have had enough with scandalous decisions making and use of taxpayers' money. I do not condone violence, but people need to let their feelings be heard. They're fed up with the bluff politicians. So, again, there's council elections next year. There may be a general election next year. And then there's a general election, certainly, in the early half of 2025, if not the late half of 2024. In a democratic country, is that not really where, rather than threatening to drag them out of the Dáil and hang them at the gallows, is that not literally, but metaphorically, is that not where civilized society has its say? That's a question, not a statement. I'm not preaching. Rather than sort of saying, well, the kind of behaviour we saw during the week is all right. And as I say, I'm proposing a question for the benefit of teasing out the subject, not stating a fact. If the people coming into our country would get the same as everyone else, but they're being looked after better than the Irish people. I personally, honestly, spent one morning in a hotel room with a toddler and I wouldn't want to live there. That's all I'm saying. But I understand what you're saying too. Looks like Kieran Brogan likes to see young people from this country having to emigrate because of the laws and stupid housing restrictions that they cannot stay in their own country. Another, there's no comparison between people coming here to work legally and those who are coming here because of our welfare system. Kieran's out of touch with reality. But how do you, what system do you put in place and how do you phrase that in a referendum? Do you say that we're no longer accepting immigrants because of war or because of displacement or even actually now because of the weather and the inability for them to make a living in their own? So we're saying you can't come, so you can only come here if you're going to work or if you've got a certain professional ability. Is that what you're suggesting we should do? Hi, Greg. Can anyone explain why so-called refugees travel through at least half a dozen other countries to come to Ireland? Another, well, there's no direct flights from a lot of the places they're coming from to Ireland. What is more informed voter that I hear people talking about is that someone who agrees with the opinion of the person who says more informed voter, a bit patronising if you think about it. And I've heard that comment. I understand what you're saying. Greg, only people in media and politics want open borders, which is a nonsense. I don't know if you count me in that. I don't know. I don't really know what's the right thing to do. I'm not an expert in terms of what is the right thing to do. Morning, Greg. Regarding the panel talking about Irish people leaving to go to other countries, they have to work and have a visa to get into these countries. Not like, well, there's 50, 60,000 illegals in America alone. I understand what you're saying, and I'm not being objectional just for the sake of it, but we have to. I've covered the undocumented Irish who are, immigrants in America, undocumented immigrants. We've covered it for years, 50 or 60,000 of them still to this day. So it's not that we're not completely innocent of doing this ourselves. That's all I'm saying. Just not countering your point, just in the interests of facts. Morning, Greg. Regarding the panel talking about Irish people leaving to go to other countries, they have to work and have a visa to get into these countries. Not like Ireland, where they are getting free houses and money. Irish people should be housed, etc. first and then help others, but too many immigrants coming in. Thank you. But the problem is, as you see, the housing crisis has been going on for generations, predates the arrival of these refugees. If the truth be told, they're not living, for the most part, they're not living in houses that would be suitable for, say, social housing. It's hotels, it's tented villages, it's converted industrial spaces. That really is not going to fix the Irish housing problem. What people need is a proper house with proper facilities, close to schools for their children. They also maybe sometimes need other supports to get them from the streets into housing so that they can thrive and be happy there. You know, putting them in a tent where electric picnic is not going to fix the Irish housing problem either. That's something I think we need to make sure that we keep the powers that be focused on proper long-term social housing or affordable housing for the Irish homeless. And not, we don't want Irish homeless people aren't going to live in hotels forever, are they? Hi, Highland Radio and Greg Hughes' panel this morning seem unfit to work out what the protesters were protesting about. Try health, housing, education, cost of living crisis, and the big one, the growing migrant problem that the whole EU is facing, including Ireland. Don't become an authority. No, we're not talking about protesting. We're talking about the nature of that protest. If you listen to watch this many videos and what's being shouted, it's you scum, you this, you that, and the other. There was no chanting, you know, we want housing, we want housing, we want housing. And I think that's maybe what people are referencing. Right, shall I take a break for the bingo numbers? Thanks for keeping us so busy on the phone lines. We really do appreciate it. And I'm going to get to them as they come in as well. But we have hundreds of comments coming in so far this morning. So it's just a case of getting the time to get through them. And we shall make that time. All right, Michael's with us now, and in a tricky situation, Michael. Good morning to you. Thanks for taking the call.
Hi, thanks.
I'm not so bad at all, and you're one of an awful lot of people, it seems, out there who really, really needs your driving test.
Yeah. I'm waiting now, maybe about 3 months now, and the list or the waiting list seems to be getting a bit longer, if anything.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think you're in that situation whereby you're checking when you might get an invitation to apply for it, but the date's ever slipping.
Yeah, when I booked for the first now, it was telling me it would have been the end of December, but now it's pushed back another 2 months now, and it's in the middle of February.
And it's a simple question, and we were being told that come towards the end of the year, they were taking on more testers and the waiting list would get shorter, but that seems not to be the case. And I think in winter too, they don't seem to do these tests in bad weather or when it's dark. So yeah, when are you going
to get... kind of when it suits themselves or something.
Why do you need why do you need your license, Michael?
Because I have to move from home to get a bit of work. I'm working in Dublin here at the minute, you see, because there's no public transport. I live in the back of nowhere, more or less. It's West Donegal, like a place called Lanagrey, Mull of Duff. And yep. There's no you can't go get around anywhere unless you have transport. It's either that there or you're going to have to pay for taxis. There's a lot of people going to work every day and they're paying for taxis, and that's because they can't get a license because they're waiting to get their license.
So the first 2 or 3 or 4 hours of work are written off because it's taxi money, really?
Yeah, well, that's it. Like, you're working to pay to get to work, like.
Have you contacted anyone with a view to sort of trying to speed it forward for you, Michael? I mean, you know...
Yeah, I was talking to Micheál Colum from Run of Fast, and he's trying to help me, and he's helping a lot of others too, I think. And he was on to Thomas Pringle and all, and I think they've contacted the RSA about it, and they were saying that basically it's a waiting list and there's nothing they can do about it. I was talking to a driving instructor from Donegal town too, but I'm not going to say any names because it'll probably be bad for business. But he was telling me that there was no driving test done in 3 weeks. And last week was the first week that there was a driving test within the 3 weeks.
Mm. Okay. Could you get a letter from your employer stating that you need the car for getting to and from work, I wonder?
Yeah, well, I got that. I got an email or a letter emailed on to me, and I forwarded it on to Micheál Colum, and they actually used that to contact the RSA about it as well. But okay. They seem like it's not going to do any help. There's no favours, really. That's what they're saying.
Yeah,
everybody's okay. The same, but the waiting list is just getting longer every time.
Right, you mentioned elected representatives. Stay where you are. And listen, maybe there's a politician or former politician listening that might be able to offer some assistance. Michael, I'll let you get back to it. Thanks for joining us. I hope you get sorted soon. I really do.
Right. Perfect.
All right. Okay. Because, of course, Michael also has a daughter that lives outside of Dublin and Donegal and wants to be able to go and see her as well. Councillor Michael McClafferty, what's your information you're getting in relation to these long waiting lists?
Yeah, Greg, the information I'm getting from a very, very reliable source here in the last couple of days is that they are not testing every day of the weekend or the kidney. So obviously the waiting test is going to get longer.
Can you just stay there, Councillor? Can you just stay there? Michael, are you still on the line, are you? The other Michael? No, he's gone. Right, no, I was going to say, because someone suggested that actually Michael McLafferty, stay where you are, that Michael, if he says or opts to do the test in Irish, if he has Irish, that it can fast-track it quite a bit. So we might actually just pass that information on to him, because the listener just said that you can get it, often you can get it in a couple of weeks if you're doing it in Irish. Okay, sorry, Councillor McLafferty, go ahead there.
Well, the point that I'm making anyway, I am told that they're not testing 5 days a week, which is obviously leading to the backlog. I queried then, why were they not testing over the 5 days? And they said then they don't have the testers.
Yeah.
Now, they're trying to get testers trained up. That's going to take some time. But the point is, no more than the Michael that's going off the phone there, his test is kicked back now to February. As I mentioned to Carolyn there before we come on air, this is turning into a huge, huge money racket, Greg, to be quite honest with you, as well as people not being able to get their licence. There's loads of young people around my area at the moment here in the Glenties MD, as Neil Collins' area there as well has been referenced as well, where Michael's obviously from there. But the point is, they're going out with good faith, booking tests with testers like Kenny and so on, edging towards their 12 tests, hoping that they're going to get for their licence, and then when it comes up to it then there's no word of their licence in sight. So this is the whole problem. And then the point is then they're waiting whatever 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. They're more or less going to need to start going back then again, getting the 12 tests or so again then to get themselves up to scratch, to get practice
but,
and everything else.
But also to... Like, this estimator, and it is only an estimator too, is very misleading. And unfortunately, unless you've engaged with it, you might not know that you think, right, I'm going to get called for a test in the end of September. And then you go, well, where's my call for a test? And you log back on again, and it says the start of January. Now, someone might have said to an employer that they can start in mid-October because they thought they were going to get their test and would have been confident of passing it. You know, this website is misleading people as well because it's offering false hope and the time keeps slipping and slipping and slipping. So they need to at least sort that out. But they've promised to hire more testers. But where are they, Councillor?
They're not here because I understand at the minute between difficulty to get one for the role and then if they do get one for the role, it's taking some time to get them trained. But I'm led to believe possibly getting one for the role is a bigger challenge maybe than getting them actually trained up. So again, we're like a dog chasing our tail at the minute, Greg. We're going nowhere to anytime soon anyway for anybody that needs their licence, unfortunately. And this is very, very unfair, particularly... Sorry?
And lots do, I said. Carry on.
Yes, this is very unfair, particularly for the people out in the rural areas that may not have a bus link as handy to them as possibly elsewhere. We are relatively lucky here in West Donegal. We have many buses, but some people still are not close by those buses, and that leads to many problems as well. There will be people in other areas of the county that I'm not overly familiar with will be in similar situations. But the point is for them, enable for them to secure a job, possibly get to college, otherwise maybe health difficulties in the house as well, maybe caring for an elderly person. All that comes into it as well. If they can't get their licence, they're in bother. So I think the way things are at the minute, the onus is on the government to step up to the plate here and try and get whatever adequate amount of testers, get them trained up, get them out there, get them hired, obviously, and get people down to a respectable time limit for getting their test done in Donegal here. It's not acceptable at the minute. It's gone way, way beyond that, Greg, at the minute, to be quite honest with you. It's way beyond. It's very unfair. Very, very unfair. And I asked as well, the other thing is as well, even you get your test yourself, we seem to be hovering at the minute there as well on, give or take, a 40% pass rate. Now, a lot of that's going to be contributed to as well, lack of experience, certainly lack of what's going on here at the minute, financial burden and everything else. And it's very unfair, Greg, to be quite honest with you. Very unfair.
Yeah, exactly. And when you listen to Michael, obviously, it's a mission in itself to get from Managree to Letterkenny to get a bus to Dublin. We hope he gets sorted soon. All right, Michael, thanks for that. Councillor Michael McLafferty, another caller says, if he can do the test in the Irish language, you can sometimes or normally get it done in a couple of weeks. Try that. I got mine in a fortnight. So... hopefully, maybe that might work for him. All right, now we're inviting you to give us an old follower or a like on Instagram. We are just so close to 10K. And to celebrate, we're giving away a Google Mini Next speaker. So to be in with a chance of winning, head over to our Instagram at Highland Radio Donegal and give us a follow. And if we reach the 10K before 12 noon, we'll choose a winner on the show. So go over to Instagram at Highland Radio Donegal. Give us a follow. And if you follow between now and noon and we get over 10K, you're going to be in the draw for a Google Mini Nest speaker, which are great. Okay, Google, play Highland Radio, and so on and so forth. I remember when I was on Twitter, and I think I had at that time I had 666 followers, and I put out some tweets saying that, oh no, I'm on 666, this is terrible or whatever, and about five people unfollowed me to help out, which was not really what I was looking for, but anyway. So we're nearly at 10K on Instagram, at Highland Radio Donegal. Give us a like, and if we get over the 10K between 12 on, now and 12 noon, and why wouldn't we? Come on now, folks. Why wouldn't we? We'll give away a Google Mini Nest speaker on this show. Hi, Greg. All the Irish that are in America don't get any handouts. If they don't work over there, they really get no handouts. Not like here in Ireland, where they get everything going. Asylum seekers here get €38 per week. And, oh, five followers already. Okay, how far are we from 10K? How close are we from 10K? 12. So get in there now. You have to be one of the next 12 to at Highland Radio Donegal on Instagram. And I say we probably could make that draw within the next 5 minutes. I'm that confident of our reach. Asylum seekers get €38 per week, and Ukrainians get €208. There probably are other benefits on top of that, but they're free to work. It's job seekers allowance and so on and so forth. It's not the same for... Are we over the 12? Right, a 10? Shall we go to 11? 11,000? Okay, well done, everyone. You lucky few. Shall we keep it open for the next... in fairness, is that fair, or did we set the rules and now we're changing them? Let's keep it going. So if you get on our Instagram at Highland Radio Donegal, give us a like. We'll include everyone over the next wee while. And we'll make that draw before 11, actually. Stuff 12. We're going to make it before 11. So get in quick. Instagram at Highland Radio Donegal. Hi, Greg. As I mentioned before, applied in May and Christmas Day date to be invited to play for a test in Buncrana Test Centre. 12 lessons done and doing a lesson every 2 weeks to keep up with it. It's expensive at this stage. Indeed, it is. And of course, even if you got the invite on Christmas Day, that would be automated. You wouldn't get your lesson or your test probably till the first, second, third week in January. But I think we both know that that date's going to be pushed back, don't we? Does anyone know what the waiting times for driving tests in other counties? It's long everywhere, but I will dig those. I'll dig those figures out for you. It's there's huge delays wherever you are. I wonder how many Ukrainians would be here in hotels and private homeowners. We're not getting massive money to let those people in. I hope the government moves on all those houses that have been provided to house the Ukrainians and take them for social housing when the Ukrainians are finished with them. See, the bottom line is an awful lot of people offered their houses for Ukrainians, but may not want them for long-term renters. You know what I mean? That's also a fact as well. Some of this is public decisions, not just... obviously the government's incentivized it, but people have made their own shouts and calls. Greg, I completely understand why you want to have every voice heard. It's the only way that people can try to resolve issues. And I also agree, as you know, that we shouldn't be labeling every person who's angry as far right. No, of course not. And I don't really like the far right phraseology anyway. I mean, we can have right-leaning media. I think sometimes it's more conservative rather than far-right. I think far-right's an insult, or it's seen as an insult by some. And then you have other names that come back the other way. I don't know what they are, Antifa or something, whatever it might be. That's not going to get us anywhere, calling each other's names. We all have to share this island. But they go on to say, that being said, listening to the comments coming in, I think the reluctance to name that thuggery for what it was, a far-right-led attempt to intimidation, isn't helping either. I'm so seriously concerned about how much people are believing what they read from these quite clever FR actors, so much so that I genuinely believe that it would be an amazing community service to dedicate a full hour on the show to this creeping rise in far-right talking points. A caller says, and the insurance companies are still loading the provisional license holders through no fault of their own, another way of ripping off the people. It's not even that. There's a levy, a 49% levy if you're under 19, straight off the block, whether you're full license, provisional license. It's a 49% levy on people under 19 and under, if I have that correct. Plain and simple, it doesn't matter how experienced you are, whatever, 49% levy. which new time drivers, first time drivers are having to endure. Greg, my family in Australia, and certainly not they're living off the country, they're out working daily. Of course they are, and our hospital down the road from here and many, many other places are full of people from outside the country that are working long days as well. Of course that's the case. No one's suggesting otherwise. Greg, could you ask if Donegal County Council have sold on Martin's filling station site, which they bought under compulsory purchase for the new bridge 10 years ago? That's the one out at the roundabout, isn't it? Right, okay. Someone's pointing out that they were passing a garage yesterday, 183.9 for diesel, 184.9 for petrol today, 186.9 for diesel, 186.9 for petrol. Unfortunately, you might as well, we might as well just be aware and angry, I suppose. Petrol and diesel prices are going to be continued to go up. Diesel prices are going to accelerate at a higher rate than petrol. We're heading towards the €2 mark, and the government still has excise to return to the price of petrol and diesel. It's crazy. It's only when you have to buy a lot of it, and a lot of us are doing 10s and 15s and 20s, but you really see the difference when you fill up if you have to go somewhere. It's very worrying, and I feel particularly for those that have to travel distances for caring for people or for work, because it's just a big chunk out of your salary. Greg, the irony of the expats in Spain now can't stay that long there now, I'm afraid, not realising who's going to serve them cappuccinos or non-fat lattes. Some of the reasons I heard this week why there was a big pickup in Irish passports: the UK don't want to wait an extra hour in the non-EU lane in airports. Yeah, of course, massive uptake. Massive uptake, and they can stay longer in other countries as well. A caller says, is our talented rugby team on the threshold of greatness, or will they be steamrolled by the Springbok juggernauts tomorrow night, 8 p.m? Good to see more flags appearing around the county. Big day for Amber and Tyler as well, with almost 40,000 tickets sold already for the Northern Ireland match at the Aviva, 1 p.m. Yes, indeed. That's a big game for the Irish. And the Irish rugby team, it's astonishing that a country of our size is the number one country in the world and is going in against the juggernaut that is the Springboks. Not necessarily his favourites, but certainly in a very strong position. It really is quite a remarkable achievement, and there'll be huge viewership, not just at home, but in pubs, given that it's a Saturday night tomorrow. Hi, any word back from Donegal County Council to say how much they bid on O'Doherty's Keep and why it was let go out of public heritage to a private buyer? Will they sell Green Union Alley as a coffee shop next? The last bit tongue-in-cheek, of course. I'm not even sure the council bid for that, Brendan, to be honest with you. Greg, if all the Irish politicians were honest and working for the Irish people and not for Brussels, the big boys and the politicians' own personal financial benefits, there'd have been absolutely no need for the Leinster House protest. In Ireland, politicians serve the interests of the local parties and not the interests of their citizens, thus the resulting overwhelming anger. Yeah, indeed. But we, at the same time, we do have to remember that there were 200 people outside the door as well, too. It wasn't exactly, you know, 70,000 or 100,000 people or even 50,000 people out there. It was 200 people too. So we have to keep it in context to some extent too, don't we? Okie doke. Let's go to Ronald now on line two. Hi, Ronald. How are you keeping?
Hi, I'm Graham, Greg.
Good stuff. And you're speaking out publicly, really, for in the interests of public safety, really, Ronald, aren't you? What are you noticing,
yes,
and what do we need to be doing?
Well, the approach road from Cairndonna into Mallon on Wednesday evening, I was coming down, my daughter's learning to drive, and we're just out for a run around, as they say, in Cairndonna, coming down the road. We met two people walking in the dark, basically wearing dark clothes.
Wow.
He had a black top on, she had a black top on, both had no hi-vis, nothing to show up where they were at all. And it was just, at this time of year, especially when it's getting dark early on in the evenings, people need to be very careful out in the roads driving.
Yeah, your daughter and you as well, I presume, had to take evasive action.
We had to take evasive action, yes, we had. And the car behind too.
Yeah.
Which, funnily enough, was my wife. She was coming behind us and she couldn't understand why we had to swerve out until the last second.
Yeah.
We just put the indicator, or she put the indicators on and had to swerve out too.
Right, okay. A bit of a gunk for your daughter, obviously, in the learning process.
It wasn't pleasant. It wasn't pleasant, no. But, I mean, I spoke to the local Garda, and basically they said to me to ring them the next time it happens, and they'll send someone out to speak to them.
Yeah.
But I did try and stop and speak to the couple, but they just walked on.
Yeah, and they were walking. Were they walking towards the traffic, or were they back to the traffic?
They were walking towards the traffic, yes. With oncoming vehicles, you know, it's impossible to see.
I don't think
it
they
was
might.
Impossible to see them.
Maybe the penny hasn't dropped as to how lucky they were. I wonder, were they aware that how close they came and how close they could come if they do it again?
I don't think they realised how close they were at all.
Yeah,
I don't think so. You know, it was just, as I say, I want to get it out there to people just to be very careful. And please, if you're out walking, put some form of Hi-Vis reflective gear on. Anything at all, really.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. For not only for them, for the drivers, because, I mean, you don't allow yourself, or maybe you can't help to imagine, if you didn't spot them when you did, I mean, it would have been devastating for you and your
daughter. Well, it was myself noticed them.
Right.
She didn't, because she was watching oncoming traffic coming towards her.
Yeah.
So it was close, to say the least.
Right, okay. I got a feeling for it, Ronald. All right, okay. Yeah. And listen,
those are
widely available, local Garda stations. You can buy them in €2 shops. It's just a bib. Yeah. Throw it on.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just a bib. Throw it on.
Right, Ronald. Hopefully your daughter is on to safe, happy driving. Thank you very much indeed. All right. Fair point, fair warning there. 086 60 25,000 WhatsApps and texts. If you can get a driving test in Irish within a few weeks, what are these testers doing at other times? I don't understand how changing the spoken language can determine where you are in the queue. Maybe it's a different queue. Liz, two listeners just speaking from their own personal experience. But obviously, you know, you have to check it yourself and see what your experience is. I think at this stage, people are throwing in any suggestions that might sort of help. What planet is your panel on, Greg? I didn't agree with what a small fraction of the protesters did, but as shown on TV, they were protesting about issues such as unvetted immigration, vile sex education programme in schools, homelessness among Irish, etc. To say they don't know is a cop-out. We all saw the busloads of young men being shipped into communities. Is Kieran saying almost these young men are working in Letterkenny? He's badly out of touch with reality. If you were trying to phrase, you see, the thing is, the point is being made, and I take your point, by the way. I think that when you're phrasing it, it wasn't being articulated is what I'm saying, okay? Good morning, Greg. When I wrote Mohammed was the most popular boy's name in Galway, I meant the most popular boy's name in Galway City in 2022, so my point still holds water, Greg. We are being diluted. Okay. Yeah, of course, that was the point I made thereafter, but it's a very small fraction of the births in Galway. But yes, you are 100% true as it relates to it being in Galway City, which is exactly what I said after your comment. And not to contradict you, I'm not here to try and pick holes. I don't have views, my hardened views. I go out and I chat to people and my views change on different things at different times. I can see myself what we are doing right, potentially what we're doing wrong. I'm not sitting here. My role here is not to push an agenda or push my point of views. It's to give everyone out there a platform to express their views. You can hear from the comments. That's happened today. I'm not saying it happens everywhere, but it's just really trying to get a sense of the views and the feelings of people across the Northwest, but proportionate to everything that's going on. The government's not listening to its people, believes a listener. Most people feel this country is being run over with nationalities, and while many are not an issue, it's the watering down of our culture we fear most, and no one is reassuring us what the fabric of our society will remain Irish. But what is our Irishness? Like, now you hear all of a sudden people talking about wolf tone and this, that, and the other, and other historical cultures. What is our Irishness? Why do we speak English? Why is Irish language, the Irish language, in danger of becoming the third most spoken language in this country? Like, if we're so passionate about our Irishness, why are we so embarrassed to talk of our history? And why do more of us not make an effort to speak in Irish? And I'm not saying that as sort of a gotcha or anything. It's just as a reality. Why is that not being reflected? Right, okay. Now, you could over here, please, if you don't mind. Thanks very much indeed. We are talking now about... I've got a mixture of stuff here. Where am I? We're talking about Culture Night tonight now. It's a huge festival right across the country. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, though. I'm going to take a very quick break just whilst we line everything up here. I'm going to take a very quick break, and then we're going to be... Should we go straight into it? I don't know what to do. Which break am I on? I've got another one to go. Right, Trialach O'Finan's Arts Officer with Donegal County Council. We're just going to batter on. Good morning to you. How are you keeping?
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Great to have you in. You just parachuted in here, but it's just the nature it is. We just fly from the seat of our pants here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like a huge festival right across the country, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
It's a massive event, and we're doing our bit here. All this effort for one night. maybe we should do it over a couple of nights.
It's quite the effort, all right. I mean, yeah. As you say, a national event that started about, this is our 15th year here in Donegal, but it started about 18 years ago in Dublin and expanded out across the country since then. And it's become quite the event since. The Department of Tourism have been heavily involved, obviously, from the start, and tourism and culture, and have funded, and now the Arts Council are involved as well, and all the local authorities. So the coordination across the country is quite considerable.
So how do we even go about talking about what's coming up? This is an annual issue, and I normally just say right over to you, because there is a booklet and there's so much on.
There is.
You sell it for me.
Right, well, essentially, I suppose, in the early days, we started with just basically a culture night in Letterkenny, and that was quite manageable in the sense that we tried to build, I suppose a concentration of events in a particular area to make that impact locally. We built quite a bit of it around, say, the Town Park event at the start, which has turned out to be a really big social event. People come, see whether it was a sculpture trail or any show on Carnival, as it is at the moment. We usually get a huge number of people there over the 4 hours. And people then just make their way through the town through all the various events, like in the Donegal County Museum, the Regional Culture Centre, on Green and Theatre, a very big programme this year as well. Up around by the Cathedral Quarter, which is Don and Harvey and his group there, are really very active every year. They're doing a nice play this year. Brendan Behan's The Queer Fella, and then in the Conwell Church, the Donegal Chamber Orchestra are performing there. But that's just at Letterkenny. We also work closely with Ali and the Gaeltacht in the west and in the northwest of the county. So there are events there as well in the Gaeltacht, from all the way from, I suppose, from Fan of the Lighthouse down through Cahaneely, Gidor, the Rosses and Glencullum Kill. And of course, this year, our big event this year is we were very fortunate to be chosen here in Donegal to host the RTE broadcast,
That is live as well, is it?
It is.
Yeah?
Okay, it is.
That's exciting.
And just, I suppose, one thing on that, we've had a lot of queries to the council about tickets for that event. It's not an open event to the general public. There is a local audience has been kind of recruited there. It is a big venue, but
so you're trying to avoid the Ryan Tuberty posters, is it?
I don't know what.
No, I'm only joking, of course. Yes.
I'm not sure what.
It's not unusual for an invited audience. I'm only being facetious.
No, exactly. No, and that's what I'm just saying, that people, yeah, you can't just rock up on the night and gain entry. But that'll be a fabulous night. I mean, the RTE concert orchestra in the Murder Capital, whom you had here last night, are playing as well. Abby Koulibaly, who's a West African singer based in Dublin, and we're really looking forward to that. And also there's events on Aranmore Island, the Ye Vagabonds group will be performing there, or have been performing, and it's been recorded, and the Lux Landscape Theatre will be performing there as well.
And I would hope and presume that the events in sort of out and about the place are being plugged locally, and there'll be a good interest. But it's not too late for people to sort of plan.
Oh no,
plan what they might want to do.
I think there's almost in every local area, particularly like as I say around Letterkenny and in those Gaeltacht areas, there's an event very close to you. You know, between sort of 8 and 10 o'clock, whether it's a sort of a music event or a dance or a craft display or singing or theatre event, there's a lot there. But also, I suppose, in the context of, I suppose, you talk about maybe the one night, within the County Council ourselves, this is a really busy period for us between now and the middle of October.
Mm.
We have the Donegal Bay and Bluestacks Festival starting in the south of the county next weekend, and the weekend after that we have Wainfest, and that takes us, it's a real concentration of activity over about 2.5 weeks, and Culture Division within Donegal County Council is really working at full capacity almost over those couple of weeks. So
the reach, I wasn't going to ask this because I've asked it before, but I'll ask it again. There is a sense that, you know, this is culture night, but we don't see much in the south of the county. You know, we've got fantastic musicians, artists, playwrights, you know, Glenties, Ballyshannon, Donegal Town, Bundoran, rich in heritage and culture. Is this a wee bit northerly focus? Is that not something we could work on a little bit so us south of the gap feel a bit included?
Yeah, it
please.
It's certainly a point, and it's one of those issues that we try and tackle each year or deal with. But I suppose the context, as I mentioned earlier on, of the 2 weeks, next weekend we start the Donegal Bay and Bluestacks Festival, and that's 2 weeks of activities in South Donegal, from Ballyshannon, Bundoran, across.
And I think, in fairness to Culture Night, is actually still evolving.
It is.
Right from the beginning, it was Letterkenny-centric, because obviously in terms of organising something in numbers, and now it is growing. But the one thing I will say before we go is that, you know, if you ever thought we'd run out of stuff, there's new people coming all the while, you know, new writers, new actors, constantly, new performers, people coming up with new innovations as to how to display art or whatever it might be. You know, we have a real rich tapestry of cultural, artistic talent in this county, in
this part
of the world.
We're very, very fortunate. We're very lucky. And as I say, things like Culture Night and Wainfest and Bluestacks Festival and Errigal and all the things that the council are involved in. I mean, we're involved because we're making platforms for new work to come through, always. And we're always, and at the same time, sustaining the people who are practicing already.
So yeah, for sure.
It's a dual thing. It's
right,
dual
so thing. 30 seconds, sell it. What should people do? Get out, see what's happening in their area, enjoy it, go to websites. I don't know.
Absolutely. Go to something in your local area. Everything is free and it's really, really family friendly. And I think the big thing about Culture Night that's happened over the last number of years is the social element of it. People are getting out, walking about in the open air, in the town parks, in their venues, walking from A to B, meeting people. And it's become a really good thing. And the other thing, obviously, is if you can't get out, tune into RTE at 7 o'clock, between 7 and 8, and see the live show from Dunlui. It'll be on the RTE player as well if you come back in late and want to sit down and have a listen to that.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it. It's been lovely having you in.
Thanks, Greg.
We are going to take a very quick break. Stay where you are.